Alana, will share her own recovery journey, and then she will guide us through a study of step three. Thank you. I missed a week. Sorry, guys. Step three. She will be referring to our big book, Eating Disorders Anonymous. She will provide page references as indicated. There will be time for questions and members sharing after Alana finishes. Some members find that the book is much easier to follow if using a paper version of the book. If you only have the book on an electronic device, you may prefer to just listen. Are you ready, Alana? Floor is yours.
Hi, you guys. My name is Alana. I'm an addict. I have a date in this program. It's July 7th of last year, and that's the first time that I had an intense emotional experience where I didn't check out and obsess about food. And I remember that day because I didn't think that was possible. I first was introduced to EDA about 3 years ago. I am also in AA, so my story has a lot of that in it. My eating disorder symptoms didn't come to light until after I got sober, so I didn't really have any consequences or any kind of anything like that when I was younger, although I believe it was there from the time that I was born. I come from a little bit of a troubled childhood. My mom didn't feed me, and they neglected me, and I wonder if that helped me manifest my obsession, my eating disorder, because then no one had to bother me. Like, it was safe. Like, they left me alone and I could just take care of myself. I didn't have to worry about food or like eat. And so I don't, you know, remember a lot of that, but I remember being in high school and junior high and how I felt. And I just felt so overweight, like all the time, and so ugly, and people were always telling me different, but I couldn't believe them. And I look back at pictures and I can't, there's no reality in how I felt from when I look back on pictures, especially because I was on meth, so like I probably wasn't overweight, you know what I mean? Very much underweight. People were saying I looked dead and I felt giant, like trapped in my body. And so I just did, you know, a lot of drugs and a lot of really weird eating behaviors that get associated with that, and a lot of time without eating or eating the same thing over and over. And I didn't really think much of it, but I know that when I got pregnant, I was really, really miserable. I gained 70 pounds because I was getting off. Oh, we're not supposed to say that. I gained a lot of weight because I was getting off of heroin, and I hated myself, and I hated being pregnant, and I had a resentment against the baby because of what he was doing to my body. And that didn't make me feel good as a mother. And so I couldn't feed him properly because I couldn't feed myself. Even after he was born, I couldn't go in the kitchen. So that's definitely something that I have to, you know, in recovery, I've learned to feed myself and so that I can feed him. I lost custody of him, but, that was hard when I was just me and him in the house, and I couldn't even feed him like a hot dog because I couldn't go in my kitchen, because I was so scared. I was just so scared of the kitchen. And so years later, I got sober and I knew something inside told me that I had to go to this Eating Disorders Anonymous meeting or I was going to relapse, because I was in so much fear about getting sober and my body changing that I was going to lose everything that I had worked for, too, because I just couldn't, like, the fear of that is so deep inside me. It took years to even realize that that's all it was. My sponsor always tells me it's not about the food, it's the fear and obsession. And I don't think I understood that for 2 or 3 years. Like it says in the beginning of the meeting that don't be alarmed if we like continue with behaviors for a while. I just really couldn't understand that because at the core of my being was that fear. And so that fear has spread me, and I could even lose days or weeks just in an obsession about food. I realized that I spent a lot of my time with my consciousness, like in this like little spot in my stomach. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but that's like where I lived most of my life. And it's so familiar. It's like this little like carved out spot, and I can just be there for days where like I'm sober and we're dealing with stuff. Like for instance, my dog had died and my husband was really upset, and we go and he's like, where are you? Like, why are you even here? Because I was so obsessed with the food that we were going to eat that day. I couldn't deal with the situation. Like there was like 3 days, you know, days at a time, I would just lose in obsession about how I looked or like what the food was or how I felt about it. And so that's what my date is for, like, because that was when my son came to visit and he was crying and I had to send him back. And instead of checking out and going to that little spot inside my stomach, I was present and I didn't think about the next thing that I was gonna eat. And that was like a big, big day for me. So since then, I've had, you know, better long spurts of no obsession. And I know now that it's not about the food. And if I'm obsessing, that something else is going on. And I had to learn that it can be something little. Like I always thought it was like something big, like, I don't know, some deep trauma or something. But then when I got over all that, and then I was calling my sponsor and like, she's like, what are you obsessing? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to go to work. She's like, that's it. Like, it doesn't need to be a major thing. Like, I can use food to distract myself from anything. I work around food, and I have to be careful to not, like, I can give poor service because I'm obsessed about the food. And so it's very familiar for me to do that. It's very comfortable, and I've had a long road of learning how to eat so that I don't have to, like, second guess myself. And so that I want to talk about the third step a lot, because the third step is what helped me. What helped me in the beginning was that if I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, that includes food. That includes how I look. And if I'm in recovery and I'm dedicated to serving my higher power or my higher purpose, you know, and reaching others, then it doesn't matter what I eat or how I look, because God's going to use me anyway. And I had to really, really constantly invite that into my habits and into my day, because I had such a connection with my purpose and my higher power, except in that area. And I had to invite God into the kitchen. And if I felt a certain kind of way that I didn't like, I learned to surrender that to my higher power, because if he can handle everything in every other area of my life, then he can handle this. And so it says step two signaled on page 124, right? Because it's hard to talk about step three without step one and two. So step one for me was really hard because I didn't understand that it was unmanageable, because that was how I'd lived my whole life. So it wasn't until my first EDA meeting that I could even realize that you could live without that. And then I had to have a lot of experiences in order to like be willing to release that feeling of control. And also like to deal with the boredom that like I had all this time and space in my mind now, once I released that obsession, that I kind of would come back to it just because I was bored, because I love to obsess. I mean, that's what I've been doing my whole life. So on 124, it says, on the middle paragraph, step two signaled that we developed hope that change was actually possible for us. So that I got in my first Eating Disorders Anonymous meeting when I heard other people talk about this, and I realized maybe like I don't have to live like this. So the other thing I highlighted was on 125, the middle second paragraph. We could readily see that we have been struggling to get ourselves and sometimes those around us to conform to our ideas about how things should be, rather than adapting to ourselves to reality as it presented itself to us each day. So in the AA Big Book, there's like a chapter, acceptance is the answer. When we talk about this is acceptance. So I can obsess, I can use my eating disorder, my obsession, like a substance to check out with whatever I don't want to deal with, whether it's in work or at home or in anything. And then that's where this comes in, rather than adapting ourselves to the reality as it has presented itself to us each day. And that's what I have to come back to and accept that everything is okay, even if I don't feel like it is okay, even if I don't want to do it. And that being in reality is recovery. Like, I don't want to check out anymore. That's not why I'm here anymore. Like, I don't get to do that anymore. I want to be here now. So the last thing that I wanted to talk about was on page 129, the first paragraph. No matter how we conceive of God or purpose, the question is whether we are willing to consider putting everything we have, our time, energy, thoughts, and actions into being of greatest possible service. And so that's what I've had to do. I've had to let go of my self-obsession and my ideas about how I should look or what I should eat or how I should feel. I have to let go of that many times each day to surrender to and trust that my higher power is going to put me in places and do things and take care of things so that I can be of service, because that's what I'm here for now. Like, I believe that everything that I've gone through is for someone else. And if I'm checked out because I'm obsessing, that I'm missing that opportunity to be of service to someone else. And that's inside my home too, you know what I mean? I can neglect my husband because all I want to do is talk about how I feel and how I'm obsessed, and we can spend 3 days like that, and I don't think that serves anyone. So I did the third step prayer like all the time. I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that self-obsession, so that I can do thy will. Because when I wake up, in the 11th step, we talk about praying only for God's will and the power to carry that out. I mean, that's how I increase my conscious contact today. I listen for the guidance, and I do what's in front of me, and take away my difficulties so that victory over them may bear witness to those that would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may do thy will always. And that's what I want to do now. I always want to do my higher power's will and work towards my higher purpose. That I've dedicated my life to that, and that's what I want to do. So that's all.
Thank you, Alana, sincerely, for a really wonderful share and a really wonderful talk on step three. Okay, now I'd like to introduce Jen, who